Okay. Time? Okay. Today is Daf Samach Vav, brand new Perek. Today some fascinating Gemara. But before we get to that, we got to get to the regular Gemara, which is also fascinating in its own way. And here we go. Next Perek. Perek Metzias Ha'isha. Perek number 6. So, we start off, the Mishnah starts off and says, Metzias Ha'isha, the finds of a woman, or a wife, the finds of a wife, or Umaisa Yodeha, or her earnings, Labayla. That goes to the husband. What's this Perek doing here? Like, all of a sudden, why is that here? Why are we starting off with this Perek? So Tosfos says, in the Tosfos, the third Tosfos, the first Tosfos of the Perek, Metzias Ha'isha, halfway down, Aval, Pirish Rabbeinu Chanan, Lubu Yishamu, Ubu Tosefta, Ubu Rov, Svarim, Garcinon Metzias Ha'isha, Achar Afalpi. There was another Girsa that this Perek was not here. However, Tosfos says, our Girsa is that this Perek is, follows Afalpi. Why? Aidi Desalik, Im Ha'isa Manika, Poksin Lo Ma'isiya Deha. Since the last Mishnah of the previous Perek spoke about reducing her Ma'isa Yadeha when she's nursing. So now we start off the brand new Perek, continuing the discussion of how a woman loses her Ma'isa Yadeha, meaning they go to the husband. That's the connection. That's the Hemshach. So the Bnei Yeshua asks, if that's true, then why are the opening words of the Mishnah Metzias Ha'isha? It should have been Ma'isa Yadeha Ha'isha and Metzias Ha'isha. Why is Metzias Ha'isha first? If the Hemshech is only because of the Ma'isa Yadeha from the previous Mishnah about nursing, why is it out of order? So the Pnei Yeshua answers, because let's say a man will say to his wife, I'm not supporting you. I'm supporting you. Go support yourself. We know the halacha. The halacha is the Ma'isa Yadeha belong to her. Right? Even Pnei Yeshua says, even if a man says that, he still gets her fines. He still gets her metzias. So it's a much more common case. The Hafla says, similar, let's say the girl's very wealthy, and she doesn't work. She doesn't have to work, or she doesn't work. So there are no Ma'isa Yadeha. Right? However, there's still metzias. Even a rich girl could find a wallet in the street. So because of those two reasons, that metzias are still more common than Ma'isa Yadeha, it's first. Metzias Ha'isho, Ma'isa Yadeha Labailo. The Yerushasa Hu Ochel Peros Bichayeha. Or anything that she inherits, Mimakom Acher, she inherits from someone else, from her family, the Baal has the right to use whatever she inherits during the course of the marriage. What? It's like Nichse Malug. That's why the Mefarshim say, that's why the first two are grouped as one, and this is grouped by itself, because the Baal does not own it totally. Unlike her fine, which she owns totally, a Baal does not own Yerusha totally. It's just he has the rights to, she inherited a field, like Nitzay Malok. The difference is that here it could have come after the marriage. They married for 20 years, and all of a sudden she finds out there was some uncle that left her a field. He didn't know about this. Nitzay Malok, you usually know about when you walk in. Here, it came later. It doesn't make a difference. He's entitled to use it. It's one of the entitlements of being a husband. Just like you get her fines, right? Why do you get her fines, by the way? Why the mitzias of an isha belong to the husband? Right? So the Bavli says, the reason is because of Eva. He's supporting her, right? He's killing himself at the office. And then she finds that she buys a lottery ticket, and the whole thing belongs to her. That could only cause strife. This is what the Bavli says. The Yerushalmi says, a different reason. Because the reason is, because she's going to take, listen to this Yerushalmi, she's going to take money out of his wallet. And then the husband will say, where'd you get that money from? He says, oh, I found it. Right? So to prevent that, and then the Mepharshim explained, even if there are Edim, the two Edim are watching her find this watch on the street, it's a low plug. The fines always belong to the husband. Okay, those are the two reasons. Now, Boshteh upagama shela. Boshes, or Pagam. Pagam is nezek. We know there are five things you have to pay when somebody damages somebody. Nezek, tar, ripui, sheves, and boshes. So nezek is pagam. That means how much is her value reduced as a worker. That's nezek. What was her value before you You damaged her. What's her value now? That, the Mishnah says, goes to her. Boshes, the embarrassment of the event, that goes to her. The tsar, the Mefarshim explain, tsar obviously goes to her. Why should a husband get her tsar? Ripui. So ripui are doctor bills. So they go to the doctor. It's not in the Mishnah. There's nothing to do with it. They go to the doctor. And the last one is sheves. Sheves is lost wages. Right? Lost work. So that also for sure goes to him. That goes to him. The sheves for sure goes to him, because now he's got a there's no money coming in. The tsar for sure goes to her. And ripui goes to the doctor. What about the other two? What about the nezek? Nezek, which is pagam here, that goes to her. The boshes, the embarrassment, it goes to her. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira Omer, no, not so fast. Bizman shebeseser la. If the boshes happened in private, so it's a machlokas what this means. Either it happened in private, right? Nobody saw. It was the husband, the wife, and this guy, and the guy embarrassed her. So if it happened in private, either it means it happened in private. Or the nezek is in a private part of her body. Nobody sees that except for the husband. It's either one. There's a big lumdus here if it means the other one, if it means it happened in private. But let's assume either way, either it happened in private or it's in a private part of her body. Says Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. Shnei chalokim lo. I'm sorry, lo shnei chalokim. She gets 2/3. Vilo echad. And he gets 1/3. Why? Because it was a private event, so the oil doesn't know about it. But he still knows. It was still embarrassing. So he gets 1/3 of her embarrassment. Because you know what? He is the husband and he's embarrassed as well. But if it happened in public, happened in shul, everybody saw that, then lo shnei chalakim, he gets 2 portions, v'la echad, and she gets 1. Why? Because if it happened in public, we assume women in those days, they were not as public as the men, and it was a bigger embarrassment for him than for her. Shelo yinase miyad, and not only that, his payment you send him a check right away. The law and her payment, you don't just give her money. What do? Yilkach bahen karka, you buy a field, but invest it. You don't just give her cash. You invested the who ochel payros, and then he can use those payros, and he can enjoy those payros until either he dies or until there's a divorce, and then it belongs to her. It's her money. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Ready? So the Gemara asks, my kamash malon, what is the chiddush of this Mishnah? We had this already. Tanina, we had this already. Back in the Mems. Right, what do we say in the Mems? Ha'av zakai bebito bekedusheha. A father can marry off his daughter, right? He gets the kesef kedushin, the kesef shtar ubiya, with kesef shtar biya. Meaning the father gets the kedushin, the father has the right to get the shtar, and the father has the right to mimikadish her through biya. Even though he doesn't get anything, he still has that right. Zakai bimitsiyasa, a father gets the daughter's fines, Umasiyadeha and her work, and Ubafaris Nidareha, and he can be made for her Nidarim, Makabal is Gita, he can be Makabal her get, the Aina Ochel Peros Bichayeha. But he can't eat from her produce, unlike a husband. Now the Gemishna there says, the Nisays, Yeser Olav Habal, but if a husband marries her, he's got one extra benefit over a father. What's the extra benefit? Shu Ochel Peros Bichayeha. But he's able to eat her fruit. He's able to eat her from her nifsei malug. He can enjoy her nifsei malug. So we had this already. We already know this. What's it doing here? So the Gemara answers, no, boshtu pagama itztrichalei. It's to teach us boshtu pagam. That pulks under Rehudu ben Mesirah for Rabbanon. And it's a machlokas between Rehudu ben Mesirah and the Rabbanon regarding the boshtas. It's a machlokas if it's also arguing about the nezek. Right? Where the Rehudu ben Mesirah would say that even the husband gets part of the nezek. That's a minority, but certainly arguing about Boshes, that's why it's here. So the Lechem Abirim just has Elizabeth Tzarchian. You very rarely find a Mishnah will mention 3 things unnecessarily to teach you the 4th one, which is a Chiddush. Usually, there's 1 extra thing thrown in because everything else is a Chiddush, so we threw in the obvious one, the one we told you. Here's the other way around. Ma'atia Deha, Mitzia, and Yerusha is all old news. The only thing new here is Boshes. For one new item, we throw in three old items. He leaves that Pesach Chiyuv. Usually it's all the way around. Okay, next. Tanya Tanaka made the Rava. Metzias ha'isha la'atzma. The metzias of an isha, no, she keeps them herself. La'atzma. Rabbi Akiva Omer la'bayla. No, Rabbi Akiva says that the metziah of a woman, like the Mishnah said, goes to the husband. So the Gemara says, Amalei, you know why? Hashta, wait a minute. Umaha dafa ha'maisa yadeha. If there are extra maisa yadeha, in other words, the maisa yadeha is not an equal return for her being supported. She has a very high-powered salary, and she's bringing in a lot more than what her mizonos cost. Then, maisa yadeha he. Did I read it right? I'm sorry. Umaha dafa the maisa yadeha he. When there's an extra Amar Rabbi Akiva la'atzma. So Rabbi Akiva says she keeps that extra. So metziah lo kolshkein? Metziah lo kolshkein? So certainly shouldn't she keep the metziah? The metziah, we're assuming, has no tircha. You're walking down the street, you see a metziah. So if she keeps it when she works hard, shouldn't she keep when she doesn't work hard? So the Gemara says, right, lo kolshkein ditnan. Koneim shani oseh lepicha. If a woman says to her husband, I'm making a neder asering on you, or asering my work to you, a wife makes such a neder, and it's arach lehafer, he doesn't have to be made for that, because it doesn't even get off the ground. You can't make a neder, I'm not keeping Shabbos. You can't make a neder to violate the Torah. The Torah says that the ma'aseh neder do go to the husband, so you can't make such a neder. So he doesn't even have to be made for it, because a neder is meaningless. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, Yofer, he does have to be made for it. You know why? Shema Tadif Alav Yosef Min Aroylo. Because maybe she'll have a lot of extra money. That extra money, he won't be able to touch. So he can be made for it because it's no gain to him. So he has to be made for it because if she makes more, he can't touch that money. So what do you see? Rabbi Akiva holds that when there's hadafa, when there's extra, it belongs to her. So Metziah doesn't belong to her. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ella Epoch, you're right, switch around the members. Metziah ha'isha l'baila. Oh, Metziah belongs to the Baal, says the anonymous Tanakama. And Rabbi Akiva, oh man, no la'atma, she keeps it for herself, which makes sense. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, v'akiyasa Ravin Amr of Yochanan, when Ravin came, he said in the name of Yochanan, hadafa shalo al yedei hadchak. If there's hadafa without a lot of work, meaning, she's very, very talented, and it normally takes a woman the whole day to sow her earnings. She can do it in half the time. It's not extra tircha. She doesn't have to stay up late for it. She doesn't have to get up early. She doesn't have to work on the weekend. None of that. She's just very talented. So, in such a that's what it means, lo al yedei adchak. Without extra work, without extra tircha, she's just very, very fast. So, hadafa shlo al yedei adchak, kuli alma lo pligi debal. Everybody holds it's the Baal's. Now, so we're going to say, if that's true, then shouldn't a fine belong to the Baal? What kind of tircha is that? Right? Shouldn't it belong to the Baal? If she's very talented and she can work super fast, that everyone agrees all the extra goes to the Baal, right? Ki pligi, when's the whole machlokis? B'ha'adafa sha'al yedei adchak. No, the hadafa when she's killing herself. And she's working overtime and the weekend to make extra money, that's a machlokes. Tanakama sava l'baila. The Tanakama holds that it still goes to the Baal. Why? So the Shita Mikubetza says, because she's killing herself, she's probably going to get sick, and she's probably not eating right, and she's going to have to go to the doctor. It's only going to cost him more anyway. She's not even gaining anything. It's only going to cost him more. It costs him more, then he keeps it. But Rabbi Akiva sava l'atma. Rabbi Akiva says, no, she keeps it. But the point is the kasha on the first half. If everybody holds that the extra goes to him, when there's no tircha, is it picking up a fine? No tircha. Amar of Papa. No. Metziasa b'hadafa sh'ayet chakdami. Metzia is like working with tircha. How could that be? So Rashi says, where is it? Rashi says, "Derov mitzios Tzarech lachzer acharehem. Most times, if you want to find something, you don't just walk by and happen to see it. Rather, kigon, dogim shinish iru biyabasha. If fish wash up on the shore, o tzvi shavu, or you find a deer that broke, you can catch it. O lachbo simna b'ksima b'karka. You want to find a sunken treasure? You want to find a treasure in the ground? You don't just stumble upon that. You got to go look for it. So most finds are with tircha. Therefore, it's a machlokas. And uplug said Rabbi Akiva Rabbanon. That's a machlokas. So the Ritva says, what kind of machlokas is that? What kind of answer is that? That's what Pub is saying. Rashi says his pshat. The Ritva says, I don't understand. Why is it true? Why is that true? That a find is like extra work. Is that really true? So the Ritva answer is different than Rashi. The Ritva says that really, so listen, some finds you have to work and some finds not. Depends. Ritva assumes rove finds you have to work for. People walk down the street and they see a $10 bill. That happens. Most of the time it doesn't happen that way. Most of the time you got to work for it. So Rabbi Akiva makes the gzera, since most of the time you have to work, we're going to say that they're always hers, right? What does Rabbi Akiva say? Right. They're always hers because rove require work. Since rove require work, we're going to say all of them are like that, and therefore they're hers. And the Rabbanan say just the opposite. Since the miyot, no work, the Rabbanan will go that they always belong to the Baal. At least that makes sense. They're not arguing in Metzias. They're only arguing, Metzias is rove require work. A miyot don't, you walk down the street. So how do you go, sir? So Rabbi Kiva says it always belongs to her. So Rabbi Kiva says it always belongs to him. Now, by Rav Papa asked the following question.
So why does Rabbi not follow the rule?
What?
Why do they go by the meat?
Why do they go by the meat according to the Ritva? I don't know. Right. I don't know. Have to look into that. Well, Rashi has a whole different shot.
Is that different?
What?
Is Rashi that different?
I guess, I don't know. Let's look into that. Okay, listen to this. By Rav Papa. Asa zelo shtayim b'basachas. Let's say she can do two things at once. Right? Mahu. What's the halacha? Is that considered aydei adchak, that it would be hers, or not aydei adchak, it wouldn't be hers? What about that? Boy, Ravina, what about shlosha? Odal b'basachas, mahu. What about if you do three or four things at one time? How can you do three or four things at one time? Rashi says, she's a shomeres kishuim, she's watching the garden, she's a hired watchman. Hard watch lady, she's watching the garden, and while she's watching the garden, Vitava Pishtan, she's also sewing, and Umalamedes Shir Lanashim Bishar, she's also teaching singing lessons, and Umachmet says Beitzim Becheka, oh Beitze Tolo Imaosim Meshi, or she's growing silkworms in her garments, where it's nice and warm, and the silkworms are going to grow. So she's doing all these things at one time. Then what? So teku. That we don't know. Teku. What would that be? If someone's doing all that at one time, is that considered a dechak? Is it considered extra shoy dechak? It's a teku. Okay, next. Boshta upagam. Listen to this Gemara. So what did we say? We said that if this bosh is upagam, so according to Rehud Bebeseira, some of it goes to the husband. Some of it goes to the husband. Why? Because he's embarrassed by his wife being embarrassed. Right? We didn't say that by Tar. He doesn't get pain if she gets pain, but if someone slanders her in public and embarrasses her, it's embarrassment to him also. That makes sense. We can all understand that. Here we go. Maskeflo Rav Abba Rav Chanan El Mayata. But if that's true, Bayesh Susaso Shel Chaver Hachan Ami Debalimitin Laboshes. Wait a minute. So what if somebody embarrasses your horse in public? You're also going to say that the husband got the owner, the man got embarrassed, right? What? One second. V'suz bar boshes who? What is a suz bar boshes? Horses get embarrassed. Right? Okay, so your question's a good question. Right? So there are three answers to that question. The Tosfos was saying, it's obvious. Let's say the wife had no boshes. If the wife had no boshes, if something happened, and the Bezin estimates, there's no boshes here. Right? Boshes, we say, goes to who's doing the embarrassing and who's the one getting embarrassed. Right? Hakolafia mavayish v'hamiz bayish. And let's say Bezin says there is no boshes. But the husband certainly gets no boshes. His right to boshes only flows through the wife. If she has none, he certainly has none. Right? That we all understand. So Tosva says, so if a horse has no boshes, why should the owner get anything? And the Gemara answers, it's exactly right. The owner will get nothing. That's Tosus's way of looking at it. The Shita Mikubetza says, a little different, we do find, even in private, we said, even in private, there's such a thing as boshes. What's the boshes in private? It was you, your wife, and this guy. And he said something. He did something, he embarrassed her. Can you embarrass her? One guy in front of one person? The answer is, there's still boshes. Still a little bit of boshes. So maybe even by a horse, there's also boshes. Maybe. That was the Havamina. The Gra has not the best, but you can like the Gra the best. The Gra says, no. They never meant to ask, is a sut, what about if you embarrass a sut? What they meant to ask was, kithus. A kithus is clothing. What if there's boshes on clothing, which we're going to have in 2 seconds, and the Bnei Yeshiva heard wrong and thought the question was about a sus? So the Gemara answers, nah, no boshes by a horse. Now the Gemara asks, El rakak bibigdo shel chaveiro, what if you spit on your friend's clothes? That's what they meant to ask all along. The point is, there's no boshes to your guf. Is that boshes? That's a machlokes. That's a big discussion. If there's boshes when it's not your guf. El rakak bibigdo shel chaveiro, hachanami debar lemitin la boshes. You should also have to give boshes. V'chi teima hachanami, and maybe you're right. That can't be. Fortnan, rakak. If somebody spits at you in public, v'higiabo, and it reaches you. Or v'higiabo harok. Or upara rosh ha'isha. Take off a woman's head covering in public. Big embarrassment. Or the hever taliso mimenu. Or you remove someone's shirt in public. Take off the guy's shirt. Chayav lutam la'arba me'azuz. You got to pay the guy 400 zuz. It's a huge busha. Or the lady. Vamar of papa lo shanu el bo. That's only if the spit hits you. If you walk over to a lady and take off her clothes. You walk over to a man, take off his clothes. Aval bibigdo potter. But if it's just your clothes, in other words, you spit at the guy's clothes, doesn't touch your body, just touches your clothes. It touches the bottom of your pants. That's not boshes. That's not boshes.
But it's not a matter of...
Why not?
It touches what?
It's the
action itself.
No, so the Rosh says that the source of boshes is, where it says in the Pasuk, v'hichzika v'mevushav, when a woman will go over in public and grab a man's privates. So the point is, the only time there's boshes is if it's in your guf. It can't be boshes, that's a big discussion, because it'd be boshes with words. Just words. Just an insult. Is that a right to boshes? We're seeing that there's no right to boshes like that. There's no such right. So if the spit only hits your garment, doesn't touch you, it's not your guf. There's no boshes.
Even though you feel humiliated.
Oh, right. So there could be, there's a miras chasidus to pay it anyway. They talk about that. But there's no mikra adin, there's no boshes. There's no boshes for that. Because it's not defined as being embarrassed entitling you for payment when it's not regarding your guf. Okay? So the Gemara says, less lay, so putter, so bibido, less lay zilusa. Yeah, because a beggar has no, the beggar's not embarrassed. Isha is lay zilusa. But a woman is embarrassed. So amale ravina lravashi elamat, if that's true, if the issue now is embarrassment, so let's say, bh oni ben tovim. Let's say you insult an oni who comes from very fancy people. He happens to be an oni, but his whole family is very, very wealthy, very, very chosh of people, and you embarrass him. So the itzlei zilusa lekula b'nei mishpacha, and the whole mishpacha is so embarrassed, right? Hachanami deboy lemitan leboshet lechol b'nei mishpacha. You're going to give boshet to the whole family. So the Gemara answers what we're all thinking. No, amalei hasam lav gufayhu. That's not you. Hasam ishta gufayahave. Your wife is like you. Ishta kigufo. Right, we understand that someone's third cousin, there's no reason why you get boshes for that. But if your wife gets embarrassed, we will all understand that there would be boshes for that.
The difference between spitting on someone's
pile of clothing versus spitting on the clothing as you're wearing it? I think that's good.
Right. They don't make that distinction, if even if you're wearing the clothing. Right. There's a Rambam that seems to be a little difficult, because the Rambam says, so the point here is that there's no boshes if it's not regarding your guf. So the Rambam says, let's say a guy walks into Beis Din and admits to chavala, he admits to hitting somebody, but that hitting took place in private. But now he comes to Beis Din and publicly embarrasses the guy by saying, I hit him in private. So the Rambam paskins, lefikach, meshalim adam boshes al piatzmo. Because he holds boshes as not a knas, so you can admit to boshes and you have to pay it. So everybody asks, but it's only words. It's only words. Right? All you're doing is embarrassing him with words. Why is that boshes? Why are you paying boshes for that?
Are you retroactively embarrassing him?
Exactly. That's exactly what the answer is. That's what the Evan Ezel says that, the Arsimech says that. Of course, right now it's words. But it's all based on a real event. It's based on the chavol that you did to him. The fact that, that now it's words, that doesn't undo the fact that you did a ma'aseh with the guf. Right.
What about when it says that if you embarrass somebody, it's like killing him?
If you embarrass somebody, it's like killing him. In a chenami. So you don't have to pay for that. The question here is payment. The question here is payment. Okay. Next. Next is a discussion about, now it's going to be a discussion about dowry. What's a dowry? A dowry is a nedunya. The Gemara's lashon is a nedunya. A dowry is money that a woman brings into the marriage. The Mishnah is going to say, whatever a woman brings into the marriage, the husband is required to match that at a certain ratio. Whatever she brings in, the husband has to match. Sometimes, if she brings in cash, the husband has to give more. If she brings in less, if she brings in metaltolin, the husband's matching is going to be reduced. And we'll explain why in a minute. That's all that's going on here. The woman brings in certain money. So into the ksuva, in addition to whatever else the ksuva says, standard ksuva, he has to match what she brings into the marriage. That's what a nedunya is. That's what a dowry is. Haposik mo'os l'chasno, says the Mishnah. If somebody designates X number of dollars, cash, that she will bring into the marriage for the son-in-law. And umeis chosno. And then he dies before this nesuin. He died. Now we know such a thing as yibum. Right? So the brother comes along and says, ooh, wow, what a big dowry she's bringing into this marriage. Amru chachamim. The Chachamim say, Yachal hu sheyomer, the father of the girl could say to the Yavam, to the brother, L'achicha yisiro t'litein, I wanted to give this money to your brother. V'lach efshi litein, you I don't want to give it to. The halacha is, you're allowed to say that. Okay? Rashi has a very, very difficult line. Rashi says, Aval achiv, but if the brother would not have died, the brother didn't die, he's still alive, so he's the husband, he's the chassan, they did kedushin already. Oh, yitain, either the father of the girl better pay up, oh, or teishe vajiyal bin rosha, or she'll sit there till her hair turns white. In other words, he won't marry her, and she's stuck, because she has erisin. She can't marry anybody else. That's a very difficult line, what you do if the father wants to back out of the money, he doesn't give her a get, or he's not required to marry her, and then they owe it to him. It's a debt. So that's a big discussion. Anyway, fine. Paskal hachnes lo elef dinar, if she agrees to come into the marriage with 1,000 dinar, a huge amount, hu pose kenegdim chamesh esrei mana. He has to come through with 15 mana. A dinar is 100 mana. I'm sorry, 100 dinar is 1 mana. So basically, the exchange is, she's coming in with 10 mana, which is 1,000 dinar. He has to come up with 15, which is, the Gemara calls that a third. We would call that a half. Right? She's bringing in 10, he has to give 15.
50%.
What? It's 50%. But the Gemara calls that a third, because they look at it at the total. But the Gemara always does that. He has to come up with 50% more. Why? Since she's coming with cash, he can use that cash right away to invest. So he has to promise her he has to promise her a premium. What's the premium? 50%. All the Mefarshim say it's not a ribbis problem because he'll have to pay it right now too. Ribbis is only, I'm giving you time, you're paying for the time. Right? You're paying for the extra time. That you, there's no time here. If he drops dead tomorrow, he didn't get to use it at all. He's supposed to pay it. That's not ribbis. Why is her amount in dinar and his amount in mana if it's the same thing? Right? It's like saying she brought in four quarters, he has to bring in $2. Why are you changing the denominations? Because dinar were more fluid. Dinars were more fluid. So just letting you know, he doesn't have to be more fluid like her. He can give hard to cash money, where she's bringing easy to cash money. She's bringing dinars. They're very common. Mana was more difficult, but he doesn't have to do the exchange. Okay. Ukineged hashum. But let's say she's not bringing cash. She's bringing metaltolin. She's bringing metaltolin. She doesn't have cash. She's bringing metaltolin. So they're going to have to evaluate now, how much is metaltolin worth? How much is it worth? Hu poseik poches chomesh. He will have to put into the tzuva a reduction of a fifth. Why? So Rashi explains, because the evaluation of this metaltolin was always inflated. Why? Because they wanted the husband to like the kala. So that at the wedding, what'd you bring? And she would say, oh, I brought all that whole room, a whole room full of stuff. Oh, it's worth so much, it's all great, what a great kala, right? So at the wedding hall, they would evaluate how much it's worth. It would always be exaggerated. So to be realistic, they reduced it, what the husband has to match to by a fifth. They reduced it by a fifth. As Rashi says, if it's worth 1,000, he only has to give 800. Because it's not really worth 1,000. 800. Again, it's 800. Rashi says 800. Shum b'mana v'shaf b'mana. But what if it was evaluated to be a mana? And it really is worth a mana. And Rashi explains, this didn't happen at the wedding hall. This is a real, he went to a guy in the street, a real professional, and he evaluated it as a mana. Then you know what? Ain lo el a mana. You only have a mana. Because there's no exaggeration issue, because it was done legit. Shum b'mana, if it's evaluated, if she brings in amount evaluated as a mana, he knows then as shloshim v'echad selah. Then she has to, in other words, he says I'm giving a mana, it's the same thing. The Mishnah is saying the same exact thing. That she has to give now 20% more than what he wants it to be. Meaning, there's an inflation of 20%, which is the same thing we just said. Now we're saying it for a third time. Dinar, I'm sorry, shloshim v'echad selah dinar. That translates into a mana plus 20%. Uba'ar b'meos, hinosan es chamesh meos. If he wants 400, they have to write up 500. Same thing three times. Ma shechason posek, hu posek poches chomesh. Whatever the husband wants, whatever the amount agreed upon is, they increase it by a fifth. For the fourth time we said that. Right? So the Mishnah says, Tan Rabbanan, first of all, regarding the guy who died and the brother, you don't have to tell me that if the first husband was a Tam Chacham and the second one was an Amaret, of course the father could say, I didn't want you. But even if it's reverse, even if the first one was an Amaret, and now this is a much better catch, no? Now this one's a Tam Chacham. Right? The father can still say, I didn't want to give it to you. Why not? Because just because you're a Talmud Chacham, that doesn't mean it's a good match. Right? That's what the Meiri says. Just because you're a Talmud Chacham, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a better match for you, for your daughter. So he can still say, I don't want you. Now, Pascha lehechnes lo elav dinar, so hainu resha, we said it four times, that there's a reduction of 20%. Why are we saying it four times? So the Gemara says, Tony Shumaraba, even a huge amount, 1,000 dinar. Tony Vikatani Shumazuta, even a tiny amount of one mana, which is 100 dinar, even a small amount. Tana Shumadide, if he writes the number first, in other words, he says, This is what I'm looking for. Then she has to increase it by 20%. Or Vikatani Shumadida. Or if she writes the ksuba first, this is the amount she's bringing to the table, then he will write in the ksuva a reduction of 20%. No matter how it happens, there's always going to be a reduction of 20%. That's why the Mishnah mentions it four times. Next Mishnah. Don't worry, we have plenty to say at the bottom of this Amud. We're not going to finish. Says the Mishnah, Pascha lehechnes lo ksafim salah. Same memory again. If Pascha lehechnes lo ksafim salah, if they write up the ksuva that there's going to be a selah here, Nasa Shisha Dinarim. will write it up as 6 dinar, which is an increase of 20%. Same thing again. Chachasan mekabel alav asara dinarim lekupa lechol mana v'mana. The husband is required to give 10% of whatever she brings to the table, to give her an extra 10% for the kupa. What's that? The Gemara will explain. No, it's not etched in stone, this 10% for the kupa. Whatever the custom is in the town. So again, Hainu Poseik Kinegdom, Chamisha Asar Mana. Right? Again, same thing. That's no different than saying that whatever she brings, you either increase it by 50% if it's cash, or if it's not cash, there's a reduction of 20%. How many times do you have to say the same thing? So the Gemara says again, Tana iska rabba v'tana iska zuta. Again, we mentioned a large amount and we mentioned a tiny amount. V'tricha, and they're both necessary. Tana iska rabba, if we mentioned a large amount, the nafish ravcha, there's a lot of cash here. He can do a lot of investing. Aval iska zuta, but she comes in with a tiny amount. The zuta ravcha, there's very little he could do with that money. Aim a low, maybe he doesn't have to give such an increase. What's he giving the increase for? He's giving the increase because the father of the girl is tying up all his cash to be able to have the husband make some money. But if there's no money to be made, why should he give an increase? Why should he? Such a small amount. So maybe not. No, even then, it's a low plug. The Ashmina is kazuta, and if it only would have told me a small amount, the zuta is a yune. There's no risk. There's a tiny risk. Right, Rashi calls that achrayas. There's a tiny risk for that. Aval iskaraba denafish yune aim a low, but a big money is a big risk. You can blow all that in very fast. Right? Aim a low. Tzricha, no, still the same din no matter what. Hachasa makabal of asara dina lakupa. My kupa, what's a kupa? In other words, he has to give 10% of his of whatever she brings in, an extra 10% goes for kupa. What's kupa? Amar of Ashi, kupa shall besamim, perfume. Amar of Hashi lo nemru devarim halal al b'Yerushalayim. Only in Yerushalayim where women wore a lot of perfume. Now, this question is very difficult. Yeah, I know. But then we said in Yerushalayim they didn't have to wear perfume because of the Ketoros. I had that question also, and I don't have an answer.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
What?
Is it 10% after the 50%?
The Gemara is going to ask that question. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Bar Rav Hashi, the mona hanishum, but mona hamiskabel. The money that he has to give 10%, is that the real number, or is that the decreased number? Or the increased number. Like what's he giving 10% of? The actual 1,000 or the 800? Right? So we're not going to answer that. But in Tim Salomar, Mona Hamaskabel, if it's going to be the actual number or the inflated number, Yom Rishon or Kal Yom V'Yom? You have to give that on the day of the marriage or every day? Every day for the rest of your life? Can't be every day for the rest of your life. That'll reduce everything to zero in a few years. Can't mean that. It means, do you give it the first day, or Kol Yom V'Yom means, or the week of Shavuot Brachas, and then whatever is left at the end of Shavuot Brachas, you give him one lump sum. In other words, you're getting 10%. She's getting 10% for jewelry, for perfume. How is that 10% going to be divvied out? Is it going to be all given to her on the wedding day? Or is it going to last a little bit longer? V'yim Tim Zalomar Kol Yom V'Yom, Shabbos Mishon, or Kol Shabbos for Shabbos? Do you divvy it out the first week? Or even longer than the first week. Give her tiny amounts to like make it last longer. Oh, that's how Rashi learns this. Im tim shaloda kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, chodesh rishon or kol chodesh v'chodesh. Do you give her so little each day so she'll last even for a month? V'im tim shaloma kol chodesh v'chodesh, shana rishon or kol shana v'shana. You even make it go on for years if you can. Teku, we don't have an answer for that. But it can't mean that you give her this amount every single day. That can't mean that. Because what?
Can't mean every week.
It can't mean every week and it can't mean every year, because after a while it's going to become reduced to nothing. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Ma'ase Bebito Shel Nakdimon Ben Gurion. There was a story with Nakdimon Ben Gurion's daughter. Shepasku Lachacham Abba Meos Zehuvin Lakupa. They gave her 400 zuz just for perfume. Shel Besamim Libo Bayom. So again, it's a machlok. Is that every day or just the first day? Yeah, that was his daughter-in-law. This is his daughter. And Amr Lahem, Kach Tifsuku Livno Sechem, so this should be for your daughters. But here, V'anu Achareha Amen. Here they did answer Amen. Why? So again, it's a machlok as if she meant it as a Sheva, as a Bracha or a Klala. Right, wow, unbelievable. Your daughters should also marry rich and have such unbelievable. Or, this is all you're giving me? Curse on your daughters. But they answered Amen. Why? So it's a machlokas. Rashi says, and the Mefarshim say, because it wasn't a Shomeris Yavam. This was later, way later in life. So death is inevitable. Everybody dies. So, okay, now she's an old lady. Her husband died. Now she's coming to collect the tshuva. So there's no reason not to tell me for that. When they're young and they're married for 6 months, and so, that's a tragedy. We don't want to answer amen on that. Here, it's my, you know, listen, that's life. It's life. It's sad, but it's life. So they answered amen on that. Okay. Here we go. Ready for this? This Gemara, we're never going to finish. This Gemara, I believe, either it's one of the kinnis of Tisha B'Av, or it's certainly spoken by the Ravs of the shuls on Tisha B'Av. I heard this Gemara in a Tisha B'Av shir, and I asked the Leibowitz last night, is it really one of the kinnis, or is it just, they always speak about it, because it's so sad. So he wasn't sure either. He wasn't sure. There might be a reference to it. There's a reference in one of the kinnis about the benos of the Ashirim sitting on the side of the road. There might be a reference to this story. Tana Rabbanan, Maaser Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shahi Roche Valachamar, he was riding on a donkey, Vahayotze B'Yerushalayim, was going out of Yerushalayim. The Zuhi, Vahayu Tamidav, Mahalchen Acharav. His Tamidim were with him. Ro Riba Achas, they saw a girl, Shahaisa Malaketes, Saor, Mibin Galali, Behemten Shal Arveyim. She was picking out the barley from the dung of the Arab animals. That's how hungry she was. Right? When the animals go to the bathroom, there's the barley seed still in there. She was picking that out to eat. That's how hungry she was. Kivan Shirasa also, when she saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Nis'adfa B'Sayra, she hid herself like in her hair. She was so embarrassed. V'amda Lafanav, Amr Lo Rebbe Parnaseini. You have anything for me to eat? Can you give me any food? Amr Lo Biti Mi'at, who are you? Amrlo, she said, Bath Nakdima ben Gurionani, I'm Nakdima ben Gurion's daughter. Amala, Biti, Mamon shall base avicha, hechen halach. Where'd your money go? Where'd all that money go? The Marsha says, this is besides the money that the Brionim burned down, the storehouses. Besides that, where'd it all go? Amrla, Rebbe, Lo Kidin, Masla, Masla B'Yerushalayim. Don't they have the following memory in Yerushalayim? Melach, Mamon, the salt of money. Meaning, how do you preserve money? How do you preserve your money? Chaser, reduce your money. Meaning, give tzedakah. Reducing your money will preserve your money. V'amri la chesed. And some say that's not chaser, but it's chesed. How do you keep your money? By doing chesed. Meaning, she was saying, my father didn't do chesed. That's what she was saying. And that's why he lost it all. The Gemara is going to ask at the end of tomorrow, what if I'm doing? Ben-Guri didn't do chesed? How could that be? That's tomorrow. That's what she was saying. I have 10 pshatim, what that means. Hopefully we'll try to do all 10. V'amri lechesed, v'shal beis avich chamich hechanu. What about your father-in-law's money? So amri lo, ba'zeh v'ibed azeh. No, he invested with my father. They all lost it together. Amri lo, Rebbe, zacharat ha-shechasamta al-ksuvasi. Remember you signed my ksuva at the wedding? Remember by the chuppah, by the chasen's tish? You signed the ksuva? Remember what it said there? So amal lehen l'talmidav. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turns to the talmidim. Zacharani, I remember, shechasamti al-ksuva shalzu, that I signed it, v'hayisi koreba elef alfi dinarim zahav mibeis aviyah, millions of dollars, chutz mishel chamiya, besides what the father-in-law brought to the table. I couldn't believe, we're all sitting there, I couldn't believe it. And look at this, she's picking out barley from the dung of animals. Bacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he cried, v'amar, and he said a very difficult line, Ashreichem Yisrael. Look how lucky Yisrael is. Bizman sha'osin ritzona shel makom, when they do God's will, ein kol umu v'loshon shaletas behem. No nation can touch them. Ubizman sha'ein osin ritzona shel makom, if they don't do God's will, mosrin biyad umu shefela, they're given over to a low nation. V'lo, oh, not only that, V'lo biyad umah shefela, not only to a low nation, el biyad behemtan shel umah shefela, to the animals of a nation. Unbelievable. Of course, the question is, how is this ashreichem? Ashreichem, lucky Yisrael that they're given to a nation? What does that mean? They have five answers for what that means. So here we go. First of all, the Maram Shif says, what's the difference between chaser and chesed? Chaser is only money, and chesed is Gimel Chasadim also, which we said is even better than money. Why? Because it could be without money. Tzedakah, I'm sorry. Chasr is tzedakah, chesed is Gimel Chesed. Chesed could be without money, and it could even be to a rich person. You can't give tzedakah to a rich person. But you can do chesed to a rich person. The Asman Daraisa says, the difference is whether you have kavana or not. Chasr, listen, if you drop $100 out of your pocket, and Ani picks it up, you had chasr. You didn't have chesed. You didn't have kavana for that at all. That's the difference. Chesed means with kavana. Right? That's the difference between those two. Okay. What about the salt? I'm not going to have time for all 10. You know what? I'll leave it for tomorrow, those 10, but I will say the other pshatim about what does it mean that ashreichem? So the Marsha says, how are we fortunate that we're despised and given over to nation? How is that fortunate? So the Marsha says, you know why it's fortunate? It's fortunate because there's no intermediary. We don't have a malach. Everybody of the nation has a malach. We don't have a malach. Hashem himself throws us down. That's we're lucky for that. Okay. The Chassam Sofer did not like that pshat at all. We'll do him last. The Ir Binyamin says that the Gemara says that the Nebuchadnezzar was made the ruler of the whole world. Why? Because it's pasnished that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed by anybody other than the ruler of the whole world. So Hashem says in Chagiga, look at this. I have to become a helper to an Oved Avodah Zarah to give him the whole world. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan Medaka was saying. At least now, look who we're given over to. Lowlifes. Hashem doesn't have to stoop to that. Hashem didn't have to do that, to belittle himself like that and become a shittuf with a Nebuchadnezzar. He gave us over to the low Arabs, to the lowlife. That's what he says. The Shevet Sofer says, no, you know why it's good? Because we're not going to learn from their ways. Who acts like them? They're terrible. Chassam Sofer says, unbelievable. Listen to this. He says as follows. He says, one day is going to be a judgment day. It's going to be a judgment day. And everything that any nation ever did bad to us, they're going to get punished. They're going to get punished for everything they did. He says, but sometimes nations do good things. Not only that, he says in here, it's in the drasha of for Zion of. He says sometimes we've done in 30 seconds. He says sometimes we even have tefillos for the nations. We pray for their welfare. Why is that? Because they're nice to us. He lived at a time where everybody was getting emancipated, right? We even pray for their welfare. So when the judgment day comes and these nations. Their punishment and the revenge that Hashem is going to take against them is minimized. Because they have chesed that they did. They deserve it. They deserve to be treated kindly. So Hashem says, but not them. I'm giving you over to a nation that's so low and so despised that they don't have 1 ounce of goodness in them. He says, the ilu hayin nimsar biyad uma chashuva kimo malchiyoseno shel achshav. If they would begin over to Malchias like nowadays, Asher Midaka Lahetiv Basof, they try to do good. They're benevolent nations. Lohaya Afshar Linko Mehem Al Khurban Ahub, they rove to Vasimimimon of Bizman Machairim. They do good to us. Al Kain, Mesriana Kodesh Barhu, Azbidi Umashafela Arvi and Imach Amach Zari. It's a cruel, horrible nation. Asher Lohitivu Imanu Mu'uma. They don't do one good thing for us. You know, Ubavo Aiz Linko Mimirza Hashem, and when Hashem has to come to do avenge, Yinkom Hashem dom imo mehem. Hashem's not going to be kind to them. They don't deserve it. V'chidei lo seiz al kol panim michya pleite nesharba. Hizmen HaKadosh Baruch Hu parnasam adei behemtam shel umu shefela. Even the behemoth, where'd they get anything from? Not even from the animals they have to resort. And that's why it's ashreichem. Because when the time comes, they're going to get what they deserve. Okay, unbelievable. Tomorrow we'll talk about the chesed and tomorrow's entire daf is all about the Indian of tzedakah.